James chapter 5, we continue looking at the culture of prayer. James chapter 5. Okay, so this clock is confusing. So we need to do something about it. So Chief, it's always confusing. Yes, maybe we just leave one. This one is always telling us something else. You just tell yourself you have time. Hallelujah. All right, we continue looking at the culture of prayer. James and chapter 5. So verse 16. What I want us to see in the epistles is how they teach fundamental truths, things that were kept from the foundation of the world. Maybe before I open to James, I should probably show you Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And I'm going to read verse 1. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come." Notice the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has what? Done. Can you see that? Prophecy. Where do you see that prophecy quoted? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 33. He says, "Another parable speak he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things speak Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable speak he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." So notice when he was quoted here, he used a phrase that wasn't used in the original quote. Can you see that? So usually when you see a prophecy in the Holy Scriptures, if you want more clarity concerning that prophecy, it will be said a little bit differently, but with more clarity, when you start moving towards the time of fulfillment. At the time of fulfillment, that particular prophecy will be quoted in a clearer way. The dark shadows around it will have been removed. It should have been spoken in more direct way. So notice, Matthew is giving us a record. Matthew was a disciple of Jesus. Matthew was one of those who was taught for 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus. Luke tells us Jesus' manner of teaching. Again, if we're to follow Jesus' manner of teaching, there is no Bible study service that will last less than 5 hours. If we're to follow. Because by the time Jesus rose from the dead, and we saw Paul teaching, Paul would teach the whole night until the young man would fall asleep by the spirit of slumber and fall down. You would think somebody falling and dying in church is a big issue that should break up the meeting. But when the church was panicking, Paul went down, fell upon him, raised him back to life, and said, "Let's continue teaching." No gist. And continue to daybreak. There was no Facebook to quickly write dying things. In church today, dying things. There was no Facebook. You just continue teaching. How can you, somebody died, raise the person from there, you continue teaching. That means teaching is more important. And he continued all night. And he was teaching. Someone says, why does it take all night? Genesis of Malachi. Isaiah alone. Where you need to branch there. Who gave them that pattern? He taught them for 40 days. How did he begin? And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24 and verse 26. That's Jesus' manner of teaching. So when Matthew is quoting here, Matthew is giving us the benefit of insight. Matthew is telling us after Jesus rose was when the gospels were written. So Matthew is saying, when Jesus was speaking like this, he was fulfilling the scripture. What's that scripture? I will open my mouth in a parable. So when you're looking at the book of Psalms and you get to Psalm 78, you will realize that the prophet was speaking not about himself, was speaking of another, and that another was Christ. Amen? Okay, today's not Mrs. Conference, so, but I just want to see that there is a pattern. So Matthew says, I will open my mouth in the Bible. I will utter things that were kept secret from where? The foundation of the world. So go back to James. I'm sure you're wondering, what does this have to do with James? Every single one of the apostles, when they were writing, they wrote with that consistency. Or what they were communicating was not human ideas. They were communicating what Jesus taught them, what they saw in the scriptures. So when James is writing this in James chapter 16, in fact, if you start from verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. They seem to have an answer for every situation. If you are afflicted, prayer will solve it. If you are merry, express it in psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him in the name of the Lord. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Is there a hum at the background or something? Can you hear me well? All right. So see, it says, is any sick among you? So when you hear the word any in verse 13, any in verse 14, he's talking about a law. This is a law. If any is afflicted, let the person pray. Which automatically tells you, since the person is going to pray to God, God can be in charge of the affliction. Is that not so? Is any merry among you? Let him sing. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this part people usually miss. People focus on the oil and they miss the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is in the light of what Christ has done. It says, and the prayer of faith, not the oil. The prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. And who? The Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess the first one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. Look at the B part. The effectual fervent prayer of who? A righteous man availeth much. That's crucial. Notice, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Now, it was James that spoke this. And why it's crucial is because it says something so unique, because the illustration is taken is not even from the New Testament. It's taking an illustration from the Holy Scriptures. He's about to use Elijah. So, if Elijah, with all his faults and weaknesses, can be referenced in the area of prayer, in other words, he was mighty in prayer. He was so mighty, he was an example. He got results in prayer. If Elijah got the kind of results he got in prayer, then when we don't get answers to prayer, it cannot be God's doing. As a matter of fact, whatever Elijah prayed for, it was possible that Elijah could get answers that God was not necessarily in charge of. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. This is important. It is the effectual fervent prayer. So what is Elijah's standing? He's a righteous man. He has rights. He has privileges. He has a standing. He has the attention of God. And this man upon the earth can generate enough power, a power that belongs to God, but which is meant to be demonstrated on the earth. Are you following? The effectual fervent prayer. Now, Amplified says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued. It is earnest, it is heartfelt, it is continued. So there was a passion behind it. Look at verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions. That means with the same weaknesses. So his righteousness was not affected by his human weaknesses. If you know anything about Elijah's weaknesses, number one, he was a bit schizophrenic. Okay, he was given to mood swings. Today is up, the next day. I mean, you call fire down today, you run for a woman the next day. You run by the spirit today, you run in the flesh the next day. You understand? The first day he ran by the Spirit, but by the Holy Ghost. The next day, Jezebel sent a message to him. This time tomorrow, there will be a separation of your head from your neck. Elijah took off running. Only Sam not in the Holy Ghost. Fear gripped him. He ran. Then he began to complain to God. The same God he had prayed to, he had gotten results. What is my life? I'm no better than my fathers. So he was given to mood swings. He was a man subject to like passions, the same weaknesses. fears, uncertainties, doubts. Now, with that weakness, look at what it says about Elijah. It says, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of what? 3 years and 6 months. Now, when you're reading text like this, the first thing to ask yourself is, what kind of prayer did a man pray and generate the power to such a degree that it could withhold rain for 3.5 years? One man, not many, one man. You know, sometimes we think that it is when the church prays and there's a place for the church. We will see that. But this is one man who is righteous. It simply means he believes God. That's all. So he's telling you the righteousness he's talking about there has nothing to do with conduct. In fact, there's anything conduct at all, it is the conduct of believing. He believed God. He was a righteous man. And he made tremendous power of God available, that is what? Dynamic in his working. So Elijah is that prime example that dispels certain myths from our minds. One of those myths is, God is asking you to pray so that he can be persuaded. No. As a matter of fact, if we go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 18, God had to tell Elijah, go and show yourself to Ahab so that I can send rain. It was an instruction. So you could say it this way, God was depending on Elijah's prayer for there to be an effect. Were people praying? Not necessarily. Who was praying? Elijah. Well, were people actually praying without Elijah doing? Yes. Elijah did not know until he got into despair and God told him, I have 7,000 men. Those 7,000 men were praying. You understand? But Elijah had weaknesses just like we have. So he could be discouraged. He could have fear. He could have doubts. Let the Bible says, do you notice the kind of power generated in prayer? He prayed. He did not rain for 3.5 years. One man. One man. One man. It says the honest, heartfelt, continued prayer. And that's the key. It is continued. So the word continued means he persevered in prayer. That means there was a shift on the inside of Elijah that signaled a shift on the outside. He continued. There's what you call continue. Continue means you have the opportunity to stop. But instead, they continue. You know, when it comes to long praying, 30 minutes, have you been trying to pray for 1 hour before? And you told yourself, by now, I should have prayed for 30 minutes. And you check the time. The way you are smiling, the answer is there. It was just 7 minutes. No, I've been here long now. What's going on? I've been here for long. This watch is not working well. Yeah. By now, I should have done. I'm going to 1 hour and it's only 7 minutes. And you're feeling like, Now, do you know what he's trying to say? You will think that you're doing what that feels that way. That you think that way is the reason why you have quit many times. No, it was a man's way to life. Elijah could be discouraged. And he was discouraged. Even after those great feats of power, he can be discouraged. So the honest, heartfelt, then that's the key word, continued. Continued. That means there's something about how Elijah prayed, about the generation of power, that had to do with his staying power. Hallelujah. Remember we looked at 1 Peter 3. We'll come back. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Because when we come together to pray in our prayer meetings, why do we pray the way we pray? Number one, we are praying New Testament, Spirit of New Testament. We're not praying to a God who doesn't want to answer. We're not praying to a God we're trying to persuade. We're praying to a God whose ears are open. So, 1 Peter 3, verse 12. See what it says. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That is, the word and there is what that is. That is, his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that what? That do evil. We've looked at that, isn't it? Now, so notice, his ears are open unto their prayers. Now, the prayers of the righteous do not open the ears of the Lord. The ears of the Lord are open, which is why the righteous pray. So it is the fact that God's ears are open. That's why the righteous actually pray. So God's open ears is an invitation that brings the righteous into prayer. Hallelujah. You notice that I don't know whether you have been in prayer meetings. I pray not. That you are not in those kind of prayer meetings when I pray. Pray so that God can hear you. He's not hard of hearing. Raise your voice so that he can answer. It doesn't take him, take the reason we have to make him answer. His ears are open is why the righteous are praying. So his ears are open at the invitation. So it is not the prayer that prompts opening ears. It is the opening ears that prompts prayer. So because his ears are open, that makes prayer not something that changes God, but something that is done to affect things on the earth. So God's ears are open. Let's look at it this way. God is going to move on the earth. He's going to walk on the earth. So his ears are open. Why is his ears open? Because God needs the prayer of righteous men as a cover for whatever he wants to do upon the earth. So God is not the variable. He's not the one that needs to be persuaded. It is that, we said last week, prayer is spiritual logistics. How God gets things done upon the earth is under the cover of prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's under the cover of prayer. Remember, last week we saw Luke chapter 11. After Jesus finished praying, disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught disciples. So they saw the way Jesus prayed. They were impressed. They knew this wasn't the way they were praying. Because again, Jesus began to give them three definitions of prayer. He showed them three sets of people. Hypocrites pray. The heathen pray. And this is how sons should pray. So each of those groups, the first group, hypocrites, they have their theology wrong. Heathen, they have their theology wrong. They don't know God. But then there are sons who are meant to pray. How should they pray? When you pray, say. Say. So whatever you are going to say will first affect your consciousness. Because if you realize you are praying to the Father, then you know of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That means you have no liability. So when I start out praying, I am not trying to persuade God. What I'm praying about is something God is persuaded about, which I found out in his word, which is why I'm praying. So I'm praying to make it happen, not for God to answer, because God has an answer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because if we don't understand this, we will not understand why extensive prayer is necessary. It's because there are some things that you don't get done in a few minutes. It doesn't just get done. Now let me say it again. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, the honest heartfelt, and then continued. So you can see there was intensity. The intensity was generating power. The power was putting pressure on situation until there was a change. And it may take a while before that change occurs. So it is God's power. It is God that supplies the power. It is a righteous man that generates that power in prayer. Hallelujah. You know, God is not flesh and blood, but it's flesh and bone. Amen. Amen. I hope you understand what I just said. Okay, so we have a man seated. It's flesh and bone. But this earth is given to flesh and blood men. So if Jesus comes here, there's a limit to which he can operate here. So he has chosen to operate through you, through me. So while you are here, he's here. As long as you are here, he's here. As long as he's there, we're also there. So it's full representation. So listen, if you are seated together with him, where? In the heavenlies. Imagine Jesus trying to persuade God. Does that make sense to you? God. They must be saved in Jakarta. Should they not be saved? Are you planning to hold their sins against them? Look at them now. Save them. No, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all, say all. So, but when God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, you all get saved. So that means between God's willingness, which he has done something about by the sacrifice of his son, there is something that ought to be the gap between God's willingness and the performance of his will. I mean, even sorry. So there's something that ought to bridge the gap. So there's what God wants to do. He will have all. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy 2, 3. Are you following tonight? All right. 1 Timothy 2, 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who is our Savior. Next verse. Who will have all men. Verse 4. Who will have all men. Who will have all men to be saved and to come what? To the learning of the truth. So what is the will of God? All men should be saved. Now, How did that chapter begin? It says, first of all, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks should be made for all men. For what purpose? God will have all men to be saved. It's a question. Since you want all men to be saved, why didn't they just get saved tomorrow? First of all, I exhort therefore, supplications, intercessions, prayers, and giving of thanks should be made for all men, especially for those who are in authority, that we may lead peaceable and godly lives in all honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, or this is what God our Savior uses in carrying out his plan of salvation. Hallelujah. This is what God our Savior, his posture is our Savior. He is a sotar, the one that saves men. This is what he uses. It's our prayers. Why is he depending on our prayers? The power to save is available, but the will of men decides whether they will be saved or not. So the prayer not just releases power, the prayer releases power to persuade men. To persuade men. Men are persuaded when we pray. Listen carefully. Sometimes what we call favor is that men do things they normally would not do, and they are wondering why they did it. You know, a friend of mine, a minister, told me. He said somebody called him and sent him money and told him, I don't like you. I don't like you. I just want you to know I don't like you, but I've sent you money. But I want you to know I don't like you. He said, thank you for not liking me. If you are sending me money like this, please make sure you still don't like me. There's nothing natural about that. There's nothing natural about that. You get to the immigration checkpoint, and something or other is up with your papers, and somebody just comes in, takes over, and just says, and you see everybody that is passing by is being meticulously checked. And there's one or two things you have concern about in your heart, but prayer has gone ahead of you. Oh, my goodness. You got there, and the person who's meticulously checking, the superior just comes and says, what are you guys doing? Are you holding people up? Bring, 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 madam, bring your paper. Just stamp, just check it. And after they stamp it, one person, second person, says, I'm going for lunch. The influence is gone. The power that was generated affected him long enough for you to be favored. So the prayer is generating power to affect the will of men on your behalf. Why? Men are not robots. They have a will. And that will, God will not subvert. But God will seek to persuade. And for some people, it may take time to persuade them. How do you know? How long did it say to take to get you saved? Let's use you as a case study. How many messages do you hear? You heard in the bus. You heard on TV. Say no. I will not agree. I shan't agree. The bus, your church, They showed you born in hell. So let's go there. How I wish every one of us that got saved. It was the first time we heard the message that we got saved. Very few people got saved the first time. Depending on the degree of your heart, the hardness of the heart. So now, somebody was busy praying for you. Somebody was busy praying for you. And that prayer was going to take effect. Number one, there will be a laborer that will come your way. Number two, your heart will be disposed to be persuaded. The prayer is doing two things. That will take a lot of prayer. To change the will of men or to make them persuaded in God's favor, it takes prayer. Capital letters. Hallelujah. So it will have all men to be saved, that is to come to knowledge of the truth. But between the willingness to get men saved and the coming to knowledge of the truth, prayer goes. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, intercessions, prayers, giving of thanks be made for all men, especially for kings and those who are in authority, that we may lead. So it's a prayer for salvation, that they will come to saving knowledge. So God's posture is to save. God's ability saves. That ability is released in prayer by men who pray and by men who continue to pray. So those men are not observing the wind, they just keep praying. There's an end in sight. They pray until they see that particular end. So Jesus said to us again, Matthew chapter 6. A culture of prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Glory to God. You know, as simple as what we are teaching is, as simple as this, if you will pay attention, and you will take it to the principles, it will change your prayer life. Because listen carefully, you will find yourself when thoughts will assail your mind about the effectiveness of your prayer. Thoughts will assail your mind about whether you even need to pray, whether you even have answers to prayer. Haven't you had that experience before? Why are you even praying? Who told you have been answered? But you know, what saves you from the effect of those thoughts is understanding the truth. You now know. People say that, you know, I was praying, it didn't feel like my prayer was going above the ceiling. It doesn't go above the ceiling. Because this ceiling does not seal you from heaven. It doesn't need to go high. That's not what makes a prayer effectual. There's what makes a prayer effectual. Don't pray like the heathen do. They think they will be heard for their much speaking. That's not why prayers are answered. Sometimes we need to tell believers today, don't think God answers because you've spoken much. Not because you use chant name. You are chanting praises. The one whose eyes are like thunder. The feet is like brass. The one who has the longest leg. The whole heart is his tool. The one who is clothed with fire. Fire within, fire without. That's angel. That's not my father. Hallelujah. Now, you think you shall be heard for your much speaking. You think you'll be heard for chanting praises. So, which is why people have come up with the idea that they can bribe God with praises. When I rise up and God says, what do you want? What is it? This whole place is shaking. Just say what you want. I'll give it to you now. Some testimonies that people come up with, like, ignorance is a terrible thing. Somebody was saying that he wanted to give God an offering. And he gave 1 million. God said that, is that what you give to your political friends? Saying, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I gave God 5 million. That's my son. So God saw money and lost his cool. God just lost composure. 5 million. Some things are so ridiculous. You like, you want to say, what are you doing in church? God saw money and lost composure. The same God that said that anybody who doesn't have Christ is poor, and poor indeed. The same money, now so 5 million. God, I mean, God lost balance because of 5 million. He lost balance. God is once again, what do you want? Just say it. Because some things are so ridiculous, and people believe those things because their understanding of God is wrong. No. The hypocrites are affected by how they think. James 1:6, let not that man think he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. So his mindset is affecting his reception. God will not find fault. God will just be like, if I'm sorry, there's some things we say, God is like, that's what they used to crack joke in heaven. See this one again. Gabriel, I hope you are seeing his activity. This, because some things we men do, the kind of things men conjure is ridiculous. Because if praises is what you're going to use to, in quote, move God, you are saying his ears are not open. So you need to open it. Do you know how much of a task it will take to you to open God's ears if they are blocked? What will you do? I want to move God's hand. The hand is heavy. I don't want to move the hand of God. I'll just do sacrificial offering. As if your offering can match his offering that he has given his son. It's those mindsets we need to get rid of them. If God says, I'm pleased with you, he cannot lie. He's pleased with you. He didn't say, I'm pleased with you because. He didn't put because. Don't put because in between. I'm pleased with you because you are in my son. That's why I'm pleased with you. Whoever believes God is pleased with the person. That's all. Because you believe God, he's pleased with you. Say, I'm a believer. The Father is pleased with me. Glory to God. So, are we in Matthew 6? So, verse 9. After this matter, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art what? In heaven, hallowed be thy name. So, again, we said that means reverence what he has done. When you are praying, keep what he has done in mind. What he has done is a reflection of what he will do. Let me show us a scripture that would support that also. What he has done, which is hallowed be your name. Our Father who is in heaven. That is the one who is unseen, the one who makes the promises, the one who says what he will do and what he can do and has done it. Hallowed be your name. That's your reputation, your standing, what you have accomplished. That is what your focus should be on when you are praying. Focus on what he has done, what he has accomplished. That is what is inspiring your prayer. Remember, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. You should clap for me. I'm slow today. I'm practicing slow. I'm warming up. I realize people who are coming who are not using my style of speaking. My church is, people here are already use my speaking very fast. So I'm trying to calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. Oh, glory to God. All right, so what then shall we say to these things? Which things? Verse 28. Look at verse 28. See what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are what? The called according to his purpose. So what are those things that work together? Look at the next verse. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, conformed. You don't read the italics. Conformed, you are predestinated, conformed to what? The image of his son. That he, the son, might be the firstborn among what? Many brethren. So when you say first fruits, firstborn, prototokos, it means the same thing. First fruit means there's other fruit. But first fruit means other fruit that you cannot see, exactly like this one that you can see. So it says, we're predestinated, conformed to the image of his son. So if the son is loved, then everybody in the son is loved. If the son is accepted, everybody in the son is what? Accepted. Do you understand? So whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated, conformed to the image of his son, that he, the son, might be the firstborn among what? Many brethren. Next verse. He says, moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called, and those whom he called, them he justified, and those whom he justified, them he has also what? Glorified. Next verse. What then shall we say to these things? So we're seated together with him. We're seated where we're seated. If he's at the right hand, we're also where? At the right hand. Hallelujah. Then look at what he says next. If God be for us, who can what be against us? He that spared not his own son, that is his name. That is his name. That is his name. The one that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That is his name. Hallowed be thy name. That is his name. The one that did not spare his own son. Why did he spare him? So that the son could bring to pass the promises he has made. So his name came about by what he has done. In the Holy Scriptures, his name was what he said he would do. In the epistles, his name is what he has done. Glory to God. Are we together? So that is his name. He that spared not his own son. So we can look back now. Now, you know, it's interesting. If Abraham is on this side and is about to quote the scripture, he that will not spare his son is what Abraham will say. How do you know that? What did Abraham believe that God will not spare his son? Which is where God spared Abraham's son. Hallelujah. I hope you get that one. I hope you got that one. So that's why knife did not touch Isaac's neck. Because Isaac is not the lamb. If Isaac dies, he just dies for nothing. He's not the lamb. Who is he? It's just Isaac. Hallelujah. So Isaac was speared because God won't spare his own son. If Isaac was killed, that means God is demanding sacrifice. If Isaac is speared, it means God will provide sacrifice. Are we together? Fine. So he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also what? Freely give us what? All things. What's my posture in prayer? He will give me all things. Because he has given me what? All things. That's my posture in prayer. So prayer is not about whether God will give or not. It has, in not sparing his son, he has given. So my prayer cannot be to make him give. It cannot be. Something is wrong. My prayer cannot be to make him give. No matter what you are asking for, even if it's a material thing, it's not to make God give. It is to ask and pray so that in prayer, that thing will be made manifest. Because it will, no good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. Even though that scripture is not talking about car or house. But if car or house is a good thing to you, since it's already giving you the good thing, every other thing that you call good is small. Somebody says, why is that not the good thing? Because other people can give you that doesn't require God. So that the cow house can be the good thing. The billionaire can just smile at you like Daniel said, give him that new car. That can just happen. So whatever God will have to give has to supersede what a billionaire can give. Who doesn't know God? It has to be what money can buy. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So it has spared not. That is when you are praying to. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Look at the next verse. Let's just read for that. So he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's legs? What does this sound like to you? Based on our teaching, what does that sound like to you? James chapter 1 verse 5. What does it say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? Of God. Who what? Who gives? How does he give? And does not. So what is he saying there? Who shall lay any charge against God's elect? Seeing it is God that justifies. Who is it that condemns? Is it not God? Let's read it. Who shall lay any charge? It is who? God. Actually, so if you remove italics, this is the way it sounds. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God? Who will find the fault? God that justifies. It's a question. It's a rhetorical question. God that justifies. Is it one that will lay charge? The one that will accuse you. Is it not the one that has just finished justifying you? Are you following? Look at the next verse. It says, who is it that condemns? Christ who died. I mean, the one who is even risen again, that died is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who's sitting at that right hand is intercession for you. He's telling you, where you are concerned, no fault can be found. That's what this, you say. Say, God finds no fault with me. When doubts assail your mind, walk around your house, pace the floor. There's prayer to God. There's utterance of God to your heart. Because the answer is going to come to your heart. So many times in prayer, even God is trying to persuade your heart as to his faithfulness. That's why prayer many times is a dialogue. Some years back, before we moved there, we had a deadline. We had some challenges in church. We had an issue. The landlord died. So the daughter of the landlord who took over. How many people were with us at Aruna? You are here. Okay. Some old people are here. So the daughter of the landlord who was in the US came down and she began to give us issues. It became a police case, whichever way it was. Because one day she just came up and locked the church and it became a police case. And so we were given a quick notice we had to leave. At that point in time, the greatest amount of money we had paid for venue at that point in time was about 400,000. That's the greatest amount we ever paid for any venue at that time. So now we're going to have to leave. We had the deadline to leave, which must leave by the end of June or July, I think, at that time. So I began to pray. So now, listen carefully. How did I pray? It's a question. Because you are the one that needs to be persuaded in prayer, not God. About what you're about to ask. You are the one who has doubts. There is no shadow of turning in him. You are the one that's thinking, will God give me? Is it time? Does God have time? Do I qualify? You are the one who has issues with us. There's no shadow of turning in God. Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that wavers like the wave of the sea, let another man think he shall. So you are the one. So sometimes in prayer changes you. It doesn't change God, it changes you. So my first poster was like, I didn't call myself. I didn't send myself. Church was not my idea. Where I was functioning as an associate, I did not even want to leave. I was pushed out. Even after God had told me I was slow. I prefer to be slow than to be fast. If you are slow, God will. I didn't want to go. I was pushed out strategically. So when I was praying, I wasn't praying that, oh God, can't you see? He already knows there's trouble. Is this how you'll be looking? The way some people, they are praying, they actually complain to God in prayer, they're not praying. I think you can see what's going on, and you are just looking. It's only they carry you to prison that you will know that there's a problem. That's not how to get answers in prayer. How should you pray? Our Father is a father. How many of you have power to save your children and you open your eyes and then they carry them to prison? You have power to save them. This is when you are praying, remember who you are talking to. He is Father. He has already saved us from gold so great a debt. He has delivered us and will deliver. In whom we trust, he will yet what? Deliver us. That's who you are praying to. What should you say next? Hallowed be your name. That means pay emphasis to what he has accomplished. You see, that's what prayer is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Of course, you know, if you have forgiveness of sins, you have everything that God has. God's greatest gift is forgiveness of sins. Everything you're going to ask for outside of that is small. It's nothing. So that will calm your heart. This thing I'm asking for is chicken feed. It's nothing to my Father. He will do it like this. So I began to pray, Father, you've said this. I thank you. Like Jesus said, that you hear me always. So I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And prayer sometimes can be a dialogue. So I was praying for a few days. I just come to church. I just start praying. Instead of complaining and murmuring and worrying, be careful for nothing. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That's thanksgiving. So I'm going to pray. So while I was praying, I knew when the message came and an utterance came in tongue. So I spoke out the utterance. And the interpretation came to me in Yoruba. I won't tell you in Yoruba. I'll tell you in English. So, but what is this? You know, these clay pots, we can call them cisterns now, water system, clay pots. These local clay pots that they keep in villages, that keeps water cold. The temperature is always very, very cold. Have you noticed that? Have you taken water from that thing before? Man, the water is always cool. It's natural freezer. No matter the weather outside, it's always cool. So, but it's also, they use it as storage containers, isn't it? For water in the house. So, when I spoke that message, I saw a vision. And the Spirit of God said, there are waters in my clay pot. There are waters, I'm just giving you, the summarized. So, when we say it raw, Omin Belamolua. That's what I heard. So, when I tell people, I tell them there are waters in my reservoir. In other words, waters of increase, waters of progress, there are waters in my reservoir. So, I prayed a bit more to understand what's trying to say because I'm praying to you about talking about water and reservoir. You see, reservoir. Reports. We're talking about our church move forward. You are talking about water and reservoir. What's it? So if you are not patient, so I began to pray. So what did you do that answer came? You were praying, isn't it? What and then you person do? Just continue praying. That means you've not gotten everything fully. So as I began to pray more, the message continued. And the Spirit of God said, when you open the cover of those clay pots, every single time you'll see water condense under the cover. Because of the cool temperature. He said, thus far as a ministry, all you've taken part of is water condensed under the cover. It's time to take some of the water in the clay pot. My faith exploded. Now, I'm praying to God to do something. What is God doing affecting me? My faith exploded. So now, if you just hear clay pot, just say, we're asking you about this. You're talking, is it clay pot that we're talking about? Well, the clay pot was an indirect way of communicating something. So God was saying that the resources I have for the church can be likened to when you put water in that kind of clay pot. So when you remove the cover, what condenses under the cover is all you have touched so far. Now it's time to take some of the water inside. Now, the long and short of it, some of us are witnesses to it. I said the highest amount we ever paid for church at that point in time was 400,000. Within that time, he told me, he said, throughout the month of May, the church should not murmur or complain. Have 21 days of nothing but thanksgiving, no murmuring. I've never heard anybody say that before. 21 days fasting, yes. Say 21 days of giving thanks. Nobody should murmur about anything or complain about it. Just 21 days. Say that after the church will march into their new place. So we're in that period of time, if you're like, and when God says that, you're there after 21 days, so where's the new place? If you're in the flesh, I just continue saying, he has said it, it will happen. But we just continue on there. So within that same month, people were just prospecting. We sent people to the and they just found this place. The way this place was gotten was supernatural. It was up for sale, not for lease or for rent. God worked it out such a way that. And in a period of a month between that time the instruction came in April, by the end of July, we had paid 4.5 million. We've never seen that kind of, we didn't have that kind of money even in 5 years of ministry. Yet in about 3 months, because of that instruction. So when God was answering, the first thing I did was that the answer did something to me. I needed to be persuaded that God can do this. You know, listen carefully. So you know that when it comes to, there's something about your heart. You understand that? Listen. The money you see they write in newspapers is not doing anything because it's a newspaper. 50 million was given to, it's supposed to cost 50 billion. It is when they bring it home. We say, brother, your midday, they just transfer 500 million, you just pass out. That's when you know your heart. How do you know it's affecting you? You want to talk, but you're stammering. The words are not coming out. It's not all trans. Because I've heard somebody said before that they sent money to his account. He could not believe it. He said no. He saw the alert. He said it's not true. Then he went to the ATM, put it inside, collect this money. He said, let me collect someone just in case it not work again. They will soon block it. You can see the money, the balance, as a statement. You still don't believe. The heart of man. If I go and collect them, they may catch me. Let me go across counter. Let me use ATM. Nobody will see me. ATM. But across counter, just say, hold him. Because it cannot be that way. It's not true. Is it true? So he was collecting. It's actually true. It's my money. It's even there. It's in the account. And the money has not disappeared. Wait a minute. Just check your phone again. From mistake was made. So when it comes to the heart of man, flexibility and adjustment, it's one of the things that God does. In prayer, God changes us, widens our expectation, increases our capacity in prayer. It's a dialogue, not a monologue, many times. Don't forget that aspect. Because we're talking about one aspect of prayer, the effective fervent of prayer of a righteous man. But we need to understand that in prayer, there are changes that God brings into your own heart as you pray. Because many times for the answer to come, you need to change and see things differently. Now, God knew exactly what to say to me to bring about that kind of boldness. That I could come to the front of the church and announce it. He knew exactly what to say to me and he said it. And from that time, I've not forgotten it. Answers to other things like that came at different times. Not the same pathway, not the same way. I remember going to a meeting. I was praying, trusting God that when I get to that meeting, something will happen. I went to the meeting. I heard a message, and I just believed. And that thing was like a substance I was carrying out in my heart. I was just confident that I've gotten the answer. And that substance, so to speak, on the outside, generated the results I wanted. But it also came in the place of prayer. So many times, prayer that we think that, let me see how to get God to answer. God is trying to get you to receive. He's trying to get you to receive. So where there can be hindrance is your heart. So God begins to work on your heart. He says some things to you that he knows will liberate your heart from doubt and fear. That's also prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power of God available. That is what? Dynamic in its working. All right, I've not touched my text today, so I will touch my text. The Lord help me. Acts chapter 9. Since we have gone this direction, let us stay in this direction. Amen. By now, you must be used to me not following my line, which is why you don't see Jota here. On Friday, I will bring Jota. Amen. I will disappoint you. I will bring notes. I will bring my Jota. Pastor Tulu, I will bring it. So that all your doubts will disappear. I have notes, good notes. I will use it. I cannot promise. But I will bring it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I had a problem with that at first. How can somebody be writing notes like this and you cannot come and bring it here? You now begin to admire those who are writing notes and they are using, this is somebody. This is not normal. This is normal people. This is how they behave. until you have to understand how does God use you. You have to learn that. Study much, pray much, then let God use you the way he wants to, not the way you want to. Because I learned under a pastor who uses notes to teach. I tried it, it wasn't working. You must work this Friday. Acts chapter 9, are we there? All right. I'm going to read from verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Now, in all likelihood, Ananias was praying. Who is he praying to? The Father. Who is speaking to him? The Lord Jesus. Who is Lord Jesus? The first begotten, the firstborn. Who are we? The church of the firstborn. Where is he? At the Father's right hand. Where are we? At the Father's right hand. So there's a fellowship. There's a communion. Both of us are committed to doing one thing, fulfilling the Father's will. Amen. And our older brother knows how to talk to us to get that will done. I hope you are seeing the picture. So when you see Jesus appear, don't look at somebody who's afar off. He's your Lord and your Savior. He's the one who took you to where he is so you can have his authority. Amen. All right. So let's read them. See what he said. So, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called straight. Let me surprise this. Ananias, I need you. I want you to be my eyes, my feet, my hands. That's what I need you to be. And can I use one of my brethren? And this is happening in prayer. So, go into the street, which is called straight. Now, we will see why this happens shortly. See what happens. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, what does it mean? What's another word for he prayeth? Does that mean he has prayed or he's praying? As I'm talking to you right now, in fact, he's praying. In fact, that's why I came to answer his prayer. How? Through you. He's praying as we speak. His prayer has necessitated the next phase of my plan and purpose, which is coming to call you to go and meet him. Question. If Ananias refuses, what will Paul do? He will continue praying in until they can find maybe Jochebed. If Ananias refuses, we have to go and look for Jochebed. Yes. Or Theophilus. We have to go and look for somebody else because Ananias has. So, Jesus, in answer to Paul's prayer, behold, he prayed. He is praying. Now, notice when he was praying, God began to communicate to a praying man. What did God say to a praying man? He showed him something. And what God showed him was God saying something to him. See what he said. Do you understand? And I had seen in a vision a man named Ananias, so a word of knowledge, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might what? Receive his sight. So Paul was 3 days without sight. And in those 3 days, he prayed and he fasted. Or he spent so much time praying, he did not have time for food. That's true biblical fast. True biblical fast is not that. I'm not going to eat for the next 3 days. You can be dieting. What's true biblical fast? I want to give myself so much to prayer, I won't have time for food. That's a true biblical fast. You can fast from tonight to tomorrow morning. But if you didn't eat tonight, and you go to bed, woke up tomorrow morning, in the natural you have fasted, in the spirit you have not. Because in the spirit for you to fast between now and tomorrow morning means you prayed from now to tomorrow morning. Amen. Do you understand the difference? Okay. And that's why they call morning food breakfast. Breakfast. Some people, they should not call breakfast, but some people, they eat 2 a.m. in the morning. There's nothing that breaking. They are just continuing. They just continue what they were doing before. There's nothing to break because they have been eating since then. We wake up in the evening of night, 2:30, eating Eba. Apologies to those who love Eba. Sorry. He woke us eating spaghetti. Sorry. That better. This was spaghetti bolognese. Sorry. Sorry. That's better, isn't it? Yes. That's more fanciful. All right. See what this is. So he has seen the vision. Behold, he is praying. As he prayed, it's a dialogue. God showed him. So that means now, this man has been praying for 3 days. And he's still praying. He has seen in the vision a man named Ananias. So I have already revealed him to you. Now I'm coming to reveal, and as I've revealed you to Saul, I'm now going to reveal Saul to you. And those two things was effected in the place of prayer. Was it the will of God? Yes. How was it carried out? Saul was praying. Ananias became willing. Jesus came appearing. So, because the saints were praying, somebody was praying. The prayer was generating enough power. Jesus came. Then Ananias listened. Ananias obeyed. So he has seen a vision. A man in Ananias coming in to put his hand upon him. So you can pray thus far and no more. That is, you prayed until you got this phase of God's plan done, but you didn't pray not to get the next aspect done. You can. What was Paul doing? He could not see for the glory of the light. How was that glory going to lift, in quotes, and his sight will be restored? Somebody will come and lay hands. Who is that somebody? Ananias. Who's Ananias? Jesus. So who is laying hands on Paul, actually? Jesus. Through the hands of who? Ananias. So what is God doing? Prayer logistics. A man has to be praying for the will of God to be done, to be carried out. A man has to be praying. God wants to do it. God has planned to do it, but it won't be done until somebody starts to pray. Hallelujah. Are you seeing more and more now why prayer is so important? So it is not God that is being persuaded. It is that there are men, there are resources, there are provisions. You know, some people, provisions come into their hand that God has packed it for somebody else and they don't know. And the person that is praying, as you are praying, God will not speak that person's heart. It's not for you. It's for so-and-so person. God told the person the first day, he didn't answer you. Meanwhile, you prayed for that. You're like, God, I believe you, I believe you. Day one, day two, day three. God, I believe you. Your confidence. It's not that God has not answered. It is the person who not is persuaded to release it. So God is working on the person as you are praying. So no wonder you said, men ought always to pray and not to give up. Don't stop. Are you among men? Don't stop. Just keep praying. Why? Because it is men's will that you are persuading. That's where the challenge is. The challenge is not with God. God is going to work under the cover of prayer. Who is God working with? He's going to work with men, among men. He's going to do something about men's will in the place of prayer. That's what God is going to do. So don't stop praying. Men ought always to pray and not to give up. That's what the Bible says. So you are not to give up. That means don't stop. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. So Paul was praying. Ananias was sent on an errand. Jesus came appearing. And Jesus communicated to him because there was a cloud, an atmosphere that, so to speak, facilitated God's will to be done as Paul began to pray. So on two ends of the spectrum, on the side of the one praying, on the side of the answer to prayer, God was working. What was God using to work? The prayer of a righteous man. So you can say what Paul was doing there was the effective fervent prayer of what? A righteous man. It makes what? Tremendous power of God. That is what? Dynamic in its work. Glory to God. That's what was happening. It's so important that we see that. That's what was happening. So it is not a mere thing. If we see prayer, something extensive this way, as something that's meant to fast track the plan and purpose of God, we will see therefore that God is not the variable. God is not the one that needs to be persuaded. It is that when you are dealing with men, because again, remember, Ananias could have said no. How do I know? Peter almost said no in Acts chapter 10. An angel came in a vision and spoke to Peter. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Why was Peter having a vision? Peter was praying. It was when he was praying that vision came. What was the genesis of the vision? A man called Cornelius prayed. So we're seeing what prayer is doing. When Cornelius prayed, an angel appeared, sent for a man called Peter. When Peter began to pray, whatever Cornelius had prayed about, the answer of it, God began to show Peter. And God needed to persuade Peter in the place of prayer. Peter saw in a vision. The angel spoke to Peter. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. God forbid. I have never eaten anything unclean since I was born. Whatever God has meant, call that not what? Common. And it happened three times. What is three times? Persuasion. The first time. Second time. Third time. Peter began to wonder. Hallelujah. Now, doesn't that tell you why we persist in prayer? The first time may not work. The second time may not be enough. The third time also, the fourth time, they said, the example we'll have that we've been using since actually, who is the backdrop of everything I've been looking at has been what? Elijah. What example do we have? He prayed. It did not rain. The second time I was going to pray, the Bible says he prayed once. He prayed seven times. And he was not discouraged by outward appearances. He sent the servant, go and look. He prayed. I see nothing. Go again. He prayed. I see nothing. Go again. He prayed. Ah. That's a man who is meant to continue. He will not take no for an answer. I know what God told me. God told me, I should show myself to him. He will send rain. What does it mean to show yourself? Elijah, go and pray. God will not tell me to go and pray if he's not ready to answer. So really, it's that there's an answer. God now says, go and pray so it can be released. That's all. Hallelujah. The answer predates the praying. That's what it means. So Elijah generated enough power such that the first time, the second time, the way the Bible is written, you start thinking that. Just pray a little. Don't go and check. There's nothing. Okay. Another 5 minutes. No, you don't know how long each session took. Each session could have taken a long time. Each session. But seven different times to show he persisted. The honest, heartfelt what? Continue prayer. Because you think God is one holding the answer. When you pray for little, God, what do I need to do? Why are you not answering me? Because you think he's the one not answering. You've forgotten that prayer is spiritual logistics. And some things need to shift, change, readjust when it comes to prayer, when it comes to men, in the affairs of men. So it's not about God answering. It's about enough power being generated to effect changes. Enough power must be what generated to what? Effect changes. And sometimes you have not generated enough. Imagine thinking about it. Let me use the solution and then we'll round up. Who appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus? Who appeared to him? What did Jesus tell Ananias? He's a chosen vessel unto me. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. So who is Saul? A chosen vessel. Who is Saul? Somebody God has called to fulfill his will. So why would God want to answer his prayer if it's God that's holding him back? It can't be God. The man was arrested by the power of God on the road to Damascus. That's what he tells you, God's willingness. So if Paul is praying in his prayer, it can't be to persuade God. It must be that prayer is how whatever God wants him to get done will be done. And now we get more information about it. It must be in the place of prayer. That's what it means. So that tells you that it has nothing to do with how are we going to get God to agree. No, no. In fact, we are now in partnership with God to effect results. Prayer is partnership because of where we're seated in Christ Jesus. It's partnership with God to effect his will upon earth. That's what prayer is. So Elijah was in partnership. The saints that prayed, they were in partnership. And next week when we come, we'll see how some saints, they did theirs in secret and it was still productive. Around the birth of Jesus, we'll look at some things along that area and how some people prayed, some saints prayed, that we will not until the Bible shows us that these people were praying. And now deliverance was also wrought through effectual praying. Something God wanted to do, couldn't do, because in one instance there was no prayer cover. In the second instance there was enough prayer cover. So the will of God, how I wish it occurs automatically, but it does not. It does not. Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it makes tremendous power of God what? Available, that is what? Dynamic in its working. Let's just give God thanks tonight. Let's thank him.